The term right to work is one of those convoluted political terms of art that is almost meaningless in our time and yet is the war cry for politicians determined to roll back the power of labor unions. For labor leaders, right to work laws have become the symbol of the union-busting conspiracy that organized labor believes means to wipe out the union movement entirely in the United States. The latest battleground is the state of Michigan, a traditional center of organized labor, where lawmakers today passed, and the government is expected to sign, a right-to-work law banning compulsory union contracts. And that this is taking place in Michigan is historic. In the land of labor visionary and United Auto Workers Union leader Walter Reuther, here being praised by a Republican president, Ronald Reagan, back in the 1980s.
Walter Reuther was one of the first major labor leaders to advocate that management and labor shift away from battling over wage and benefit levels to a cooperative effort aimed at sharing in the ownership of the new wealth being produced. He was looking far beyond the next contract. There's a story that Reuther was touring a highly automated Ford assembly plant when someone said, "Walter, you're going to have a hard time collecting union dues from all these machines." And Reuther simply shot back, "Not as hard a time as you're going to have selling them cars."
A much more divisive time these days between the Republicans and organized labor. Walter Reuther, who mobilized millions of labor union workers in his day, would probably not have been a fan of Ronald Reagan's hard line toward unions. And it is a sign of the times that yesterday President Obama was campaigning against that Michigan right to work bill in front of just a few hundred UAW workers at a Detroit diesel engine plant.
These so-called right to work laws, they don't have to do with economics. They have everything to do with politics. What they're really talking about is giving you the right to work for less money.
Earlier today, we spoke with United Auto Workers President Bob King about what's at stake for union workers in Michigan.
Well, what's really at stake is a vision for America, because the right-wing leadership of this party is really trying to suppress democracy, suppress workers' rights, suppress collective bargaining. They're attacking women's reproductive rights in the lame duck session. They're attacking the public school system in the lame duck session. So it's really about what agenda do you believe for America. I think the American public said overwhelmingly they don't want an agenda of division, an agenda of just taking care of the wealthy. They want an agenda that takes care of everybody.
What do you say to the argument that is always presented on the right to work legislation, that is a worker should have the right not to have to join a union and have to pay union dues on a union shop floor?
Well, let's clear up the first part. Under federal labor law, under Beck's Supreme Court decision, no worker in America has to belong to a union. Any worker in any UAW shop or Teamster, steelworker, or any other can say, "I don't want to belong to the union." They have a right to do that. They don't have a right to get all the benefits from the union, the wages, the pensions, the health care, without paying their fair share of the cost of representation. It's just like, I wonder if Rick Snyder or Republicans would say that any citizen in any city can say, "Hey, I don't want to pay for the police, fire, or the trash pickup, or the snow removal." That's ludicrous. That isn't what Americans believe in. Americans believe in everybody doing their fair share. If they're in a workplace that the majority has democratically voted they want a union, if they democratically voted on a contract to ratify it, then everybody pays their fair share. In our Constitution, the UAW, forever, we've allowed workers to say, "I don't want to be a formal part of the union, but I'll pay my fair share."
Why is that message and similar message, and we saw it in Wisconsin last year or earlier this year, why is that message not striking and a more resonant populist chord in America? People are suspicious of collective bargaining, and they seem to be suspicious of unions, which gives an opening to politicians advocating these laws.
You know, that's not my experience. People, I think, understand that there wouldn't be a middle class in America if there weren't unions in America. If it was not for collective bargaining, there would not be a middle class. It was auto workers in the auto industry. It was Teamsters. It was steel workers that bargained good contracts. And then they became a standard in society about what wage levels or income levels or benefit levels should be. Maybe people in non-union didn't get everything that people in union shops did, but they got a huge part of it. And you see, in states all across America, if it's right to work, all workers' wages, union and non-union, are lower. The average income is lower. And the higher the percentage of workers in a state than unions, the higher the per capita of working families, the higher the benefit levels, the higher the funding for K-12 education. unions and collective bargaining play a very important role in maintaining a middle class, and I would argue in maintaining democracy in America.
Then what explains the decline in membership over the last 10, 20, 30 years?
Well, I think there are a number of factors. Some of it is we in unions could do a better job of promoting all the good that we do in communities and in society. Part of it is automation. Part of it is manufacturing leaving the United States of America. But you're seeing a resurgence today. I'm really proud of our membership in the UAW who made the sacrifices to save the companies. And now the companies are reinvesting in America. They've come back, all the auto companies. You know, it's so outrageous. Here in Michigan, Governor Snyder should be thanking the auto industry and thanking the UAW for all the investment we bargained for to come into Michigan. There are tens of thousands of direct auto jobs and 100,000 ripple jobs that are being created in Michigan by collective bargaining. And so to try to undermine collective bargaining doesn't make any sense at all.
Is there a political argument that is difficult today? In Wisconsin, we saw a very well-organized union campaign to recall the governor, and Wisconsin failed. It's not a threat necessarily, some of these Republican politicians.
Well, you know what? You know, they did a great job. They took over control of the Senate. So did they win 100% of the electoral victories? No. Some people, some union members voted because they just don't like the concept of recall. But you saw in the last presidential election, it was labor was one of the important components supporting President Obama. That's why I think the Koch brothers and Alec and the bosses in Michigan have targeted the labor movement. They don't want working families to have a voice. They want more for the wealthy and less for working people. Working people are coming together and standing up. I love the statement. The day that they voted on right to work in Michigan was the day before the anniversary of Pearl Harbor.
All right. Bob King is the president of the United Auto Workers, standing up against the right to work vote being debated and considered in the state of Michigan. Earlier in the program, we talked about sincerity, sarcasm, and irony. We want to know your thoughts. Is sincerity dead?
I'm Paula Harrison. I think sarcasm has always been a strong escape valve for sustained emotional pain. Irony is, in my view, the universal language for intelligent playfulness. And sincerity is the most elusive for most people precisely because it's in such short supply.
How's your supply of sincerity? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We love intelligent playfulness. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.